In 1713, roughly 50,000 sailors were suddenly out of work. Not gradually, overnight. The Treaty of Utrecht ended the War of the Spanish Succession, and with it, the legal commissions that had turned ordinary seamen into state-sanctioned raiders. Colin Woodard's The Republic of Pirates opens with this rupture as its central engine. These weren't unskilled drifters. They were trained in gunnery, navigation, boarding tactics, and long-distance Atlantic travel. The Empire had spent years sharpening them into weapons, then simply put those weapons down. Think of it this way. A government spends a decade training a workforce for one specific violent job. Then peace arrives. The contracts vanish. The men don't. That's the situation Woodard describes, and it's the structural cause behind what we call the Golden Age of Piracy. The 9 Years' War ran from 1688 to 1697. The War of the Spanish Succession followed in 1701 and ground on until 1713. For over two decades, European powers, England, France, Portugal, the Dutch Republic, issued letters of marque, legal documents authorizing private ship captains to attack enemy vessels and pocket the proceeds. Privateers weren't pirates, at least not technically. Their violence had a state signature on it. Now that signature was gone, Jonathan, but the men remained. The post-war labor glut hit hard. Thousands of experienced sailors flooded a merchant shipping market that couldn't absorb them. Competition for berths drove wages down, and the conditions waiting for them on merchant ships were genuinely brutal. Poor food, dangerous work, irregular pay, inadequate medical care. The key idea here is that the merchant marine wasn't just an unpleasant job. It was, for many sailors, a coercive trap. The British state even practiced impressment, the forced conscription of men into naval service. So the choice facing many sailors wasn't freedom versus piracy. It was one form of exploitation versus another. Woodard frames this carefully. The transition from legal privateer to illegal pirate wasn't primarily a moral collapse. For many men, it was a survival calculation. The same skills, the same ships, the same Atlantic trade routes, just without the Crown's permission. Now, geography mattered enormously here. The Bahamas, and specifically New Providence Island, sat at a strategically critical intersection. Routes connecting the Caribbean, the Gulf of Mexico, and the North American coast all passed nearby. The shallow waters, dense islands, and numerous anchorages made it ideal for careening hulls, taking on provisions, hiding from naval patrols, and moving fast when needed. Crucially, effective English authority in the Bahamas had collapsed. That political vacuum is what made Nassau not just a convenient stop, but a genuine headquarters. Remember, pirates needed more than a hiding spot. They needed a place where they could operate openly, recruit freely, and sell plundered goods without immediate arrest. Nassau, Jonathan, offered all of that. Caribbean shipping carried enormously valuable cargoes, sugar, tobacco, silver, manufactured goods, and experienced maritime crews understood exactly where those cargoes moved and when. The combination of trained men, weak governance, and rich targets created conditions that almost guaranteed an explosion of piracy after 1713. The takeaway from Woodard's first act is this. The Golden Age of Piracy was not a story of individual greed or romantic adventure. It was a structural crisis produced by imperial policy itself. Governments mobilized tens of thousands of men for maritime warfare, then demobilized them into a labor market that couldn't support them, under conditions that were often coercive and dangerous. The same Atlantic commercial system that generated enormous wealth for merchants and empires generated the grievances that fueled rebellion against it. Piracy expanded rapidly after 1713, because experienced crews, vulnerable trade routes, permissive ports, and valuable cargoes all existed simultaneously. That's not coincidence, that's cause and effect. And it sets up the central question Woodard wants you to sit with, Jonathan. When the line between legal and illegal violence is drawn by the same empire that exploits you, what exactly does it mean to cross it?